What's going on, y'all, and welcome in to the That Being Said podcast with the Jorjour brothers. I'm Sammy.
I'm George. No, I'm kidding. I'm just messing with
you. Oh, well,
you
I've
caught me off guard on the opening, but you did not.
Why would I have caught you off guard?
I don't know. I saw your like face on the screen. You really looked like you were like trying to be sneaky or something.
No, I was just thinking about what episode it was.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what you were doing. Well, welcome into today's podcast. We've been off for about a week or so. We're gonna be ramping up here. Sports might be coming back. Should be coming back. And we talk about a nice little what do you call it? A cog in the gear with the cancellation of Ivy League sports today on the podcast and amongst other things.
First of all, it's episode 625. Secondly, get out of here with your negative might be coming back sports. Sports are on their way back. They're here. Players are in this weird bubble in Orlando. We got baseball happening. So, George, I'm gonna X out your sports might be coming back. Sports are coming back, and we are kicking up the podcast, and we're going to be doing more often. That's called a little bit of Wednesday wisdom for you. You like that?
Fair enough. I'm still going to skip if I think they might be coming back because I'm not trying to be
pessimistic. Today's episode of What Grinds My Gears, George's pessimism about the league coming back.
Sure. That's fine. This is a podcast. It was a lot of fun. At this meantime, please visit the sportsontap.com. We were doing a lot of fun stuff. Check out our other podcasts too, the Just Talk Pod and Sammy's Stuff That Matters Pod. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. Please email us anything you have, suggestions as far as evergreen podcasts, lists, stuff you want to hear us talk about at hello@sontlive.com. And thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. As always, it's brought to you by the sportsontap.com. Sam, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, that this is the internet's pub, and this is Sports on Tap, George. And you know what else this is?
What's that?
This is sports radio.
Redefined.
Quick little ad, and then enjoy the pod. Happy Wednesday. All right, we should be live, and welcome into the That Being Said podcast with the Jorjour brothers, brought to you by the Sports on Tap. George, we got a lot of news to talk about today. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Yeah, a lot of news here kind of breaking as we're recording this podcast. We want to make sure that if you're joining us on my Instagram, I'm on Instagram Live at GJorjour right now, and you can actually watch this whole thing on the Sports on Tap Periscope by going to Twitter. So check us out there for a little bit of better feed. That way you can see Sam here on the other side as well.
You know, if anyone wants to see this face, well, here's the thing. We're going to talk just Patrick Mahomes at first in his contract, but now Ivy League has canceled all fall sports. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We'll get into the Steven Jackson stuff that happened. Throw in your comments if you're on Periscope, and we'll answer your questions as they come in. And Ivy League cancels all fall sports, which is interesting. I think George mentioned before the show, they were the first to cancel their tournament during March Madness.
Right.
And as we all know, Ivy League schools are usually some of the more, I'm not going to say most intelligent, but the most educated, you know, they are the most prestigious education schools. They were ahead of the game on canceling their tournament, and now they're already canceling fall sports. I think it says a lot.
Yeah, I think it says quite a bit here. Now, I don't want to like jump the gun and say there's going to be no college football, but with, you know, the pandemic, it seems like it's growing in numbers. I wonder if a lot of schools are going to be apprehensive about playing football in the fall. And like you said, they're kind of ahead of the curve here during March Madness. They canceled their, you know, Ivy League tournament before college basketball, and then college basketball started following suit. So when you see that, you're like, okay, so Ivy League cancels college football and all fall sports. And whatever, I don't know who else plays in the fall. Whether that's women's swimming, whatever.
Basketball is like almost in the fall. It's kind of winter, but
consider, I think, the winter sports. But now that you're canceling these sports, it's like, all right, is everyone else going to follow suit now? With them, it's like, all right, we know they're not involved with the, you know, going to the college football playoffs. They never have been, probably won't be ever, right? I mean, it'd be very far fetched for a team like Harvard to make the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that means that shows the money's not as. You know, for some schools like Alabama, this is about the money. to why they're trying to play. Harvard probably doesn't need it.
No, Harvard does not need it compared to a school like UCLA or USC or Alabama or LSU. But my thing is, like, is this – imagine if it's conference like the Pac-12 does this. What do you do now? Does everyone else play for a chance to win, go to the college football playoffs? You know the SEC is not going to be one of the schools to do this. But what happens when a school, like you said, the Ivy League prestigious does it? Everyone else falls. We're going to be in a lot of trouble here, right? But I don't know. I don't want to jump the gun and say there's going to be no college football.
My biggest issue here is the Ivy League is doing this way too soon. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not here to tell you I'm a doctor, and I'd rather hear a doctor's opinion. But let's just be honest. You don't have to cancel fall sports from today. You don't have to. You could wait. You could see what happens for the remainder of July and maybe mid-August and then start making some more decisions when people are going to start reporting to school. I didn't think you have to make this decision immediately today. And I don't think – I think the Ivy League doing this is like good information for humans. It's good information. Does it directly change anything the SEC, the Pac-12, any of these conferences are going to do? Absolutely not. So even if the Ivy League, when they canceled March Madness, they were the first, right? That didn't mean everybody immediately thought it was a good idea too. I think at the end of the day, schools like SEC schools, Pac-12 schools, the Big 10, Big 12, they're going to wait till the final possible moment to cancel and make a decision then if we have to cancel or play, because for them it's bigger than, you know, for some of these schools, football is bigger than the school itself, you know?
Alabama, I bet, I don't know like the exact figures. I can probably try to, you know, we can probably look them up at some point. But they probably make the majority of the revenue of a university outside of tuition by college football, by merchandise, gate sales, the tailgates around. Even a city like LSU, Baton Rouge, I mean, it just if you want to go look at the local economy that is like springboarded by college football, it'd be a disaster, right? If we went to Baton Rouge, fun ass place. Hey, we're in a purple shirt, I guess you can say that.
The most fun I've had.
The most fun place we've ever had. But the whole local economy is centered around LSU football. You have, you know, people from a 200-mile radius every Saturday driving over to LSU's campus, tailgating, going to the restaurants, going to the local bars, and supporting that local economy. Now, if there's no college football this year, what happens to that local economy? And what happens, I also was wondering, what happens if, let's say, they just delay college football, which I heard, and want to move it to the spring? Does someone like Trevor Lawrence not play because the NFL drafts at the same time? Like, why risk injury? Like, I just wonder, Justin Fields, do you play? Or anyone who's about to get drafted in the first round, do you play or do you just go to the NFL draft? Because the draft would be during the same time as the football.
I mean, those guys just won't play. But does that stuff matter? For me, I guess that stuff doesn't matter because who cares? The school's going to still – if the school plays, they're making hella money. Whether – Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback or the next guy in Clemson, it doesn't affect the revenue of the school if they're playing. And Trevor Lawrence is not going to affect his draft stock. So I don't care if Trevor Lawrence is going to play if they move it to the spring. My bigger question would be if they're moving it to the spring, are, like you said, the local economies, are they going to hold up? Are, you know, how are other sports going to fare? Stanford, you mentioned this before the show. Stanford has dropped 11 sports already, right? And that's already knowing somewhat of the economic impact. That's not even seeing it yet. That's knowing what the economic impact's going to be, right? So for me, okay, yeah, it's interesting. Like, will Trevor Lawrence play another year in Clemson? Cool, whatever, right? But really, like, what does it mean for the other sports in school? Because they're going to start getting canceled. Football funds everything. And like you said, in those other areas like the South, I was talking about this with my girlfriend's mom. She's from the South. In the South, right? It's not Seattle. UW football, right?
No, it's not.
UW football. Seattle doesn't run off UW football. I mean, UW football runs because of Seattle, right? Because it's a big market. There's a lot of people coming in. In the South, it's football, God, and then family, right? It's not God, family, football. It's football, God, family. And a place like LSU, when we went to LSU, amazing time, right? Everyone's getting drunk on this big ass field with so many people, right? All day. going to different bars, buying food from the local stores, buying the electricity used up in the city just to run the generators for a tailgate is pretty amazing, right? Yep. So I think when we look at it, is a city like Baton Rouge going to survive if there's a year off of college football or a year off of college in general? All those local shops might be shutting down. And so that's where, for me, the craziness is, because like I said, big cities, they run the football programs run because of the big city. But in places like Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge, the cities run because of the football team. So I would have never known in my entire life where Tuscaloosa, Alabama is, where Baton Rouge, Louisiana is, Fayetteville, North Carolina, and all these different, like, I don't know who's in Fayetteville.
I don't think anyone's
in Fayetteville. Yeah,
we just happened to talk about Fayetteville with someone we knew the other day.
Yeah. Where's Clemson? I don't even know where Clemson's
located. Clemson's in Clemson, South Carolina.
Clemson, South Carolina. See, like, first of all, would never know where that is. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Literally, no one knows. It's run from Alabama football. So, and that's the big thing, like you mentioned, is the money, right? People don't understand how much other sports are funded because of football. Even basketball. Some schools wouldn't be able to afford basketball without the football team.
No, absolutely. And one of the things that I also wanted to mention here was, how can you actually, and this is where I think it's really important, how do you actually say, hey, players of Clemson, players of Alabama, players of University of Washington, come play, you have to play football this year. You're not paid employees, but you have to play football if the campuses are empty. If you're doing virtual classes, all of a sudden you're opening up this Pandora box, right? You're like, hey, no classes allowed, no one allowed on campus, but the football players have to come, be on campus, and play.
Well, you missed the wording even. Yeah. Nobody on campus, everyone's online because it's not safe.
Not safe, yep.
Football players.
You got to be there.
Come on in, buddies. Like, let's go, all 60 of you.
We need you.
Yeah.
We need you here. And all of a sudden, they're not amateurs anymore. Those are professionals at that point.
Yeah, I think everything this year is kind of has to do with like the restructure of sports, of the economy, of college football, right? College athletics. You're seeing just in the NBA, in the NFL, and in MLB, owners talking about salary cuts, mm-hmm. because we can't afford to pay you your salaries if there's no one in attendance. Right. If we're going to have no less concession sales, less beer sales, less, you know, like, you're losing a lot of money, right? I mean, forget just, I was just listening to Bill Simmons of Shams Charania. Yeah. However you say it. He was talking about the Sacramento Kings, right?
Yeah.
Sacramento doesn't have any other pro sports. It's just the Kings, and the owners of the Kings are responsible for that arena that they put a lot of money into and promised the city. That's a good idea to build that giant arena. They are losing, they could be losing somewhere in the upwards of $10 to $20 million just off these last 2 months of the season that got canceled, because that's 20 home games with people punching tickets to the door, concessions, jerseys, hats, foot traffic, advertising, you know, all these different things. Like a pro team, that's a professional basketball team that brings in millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, is being affected. So what about a college, right? Like, how can you tell these kids that we need you here so we can make this $50 million on TV next month, but you're going to get nothing?
Well, yeah, and you made a great point there. And let's remember, we've seen it here in Washington, right? Key Arena, where the Seattle Supersonics played, used to have a lot of restaurants, a lot of bars, a lot of...
Seattle Center,
to be exact. And the Seattle Supersonics left. Now, all we see is empty bars at Queen Anne, which is the area, for those who aren't familiar with Seattle, the Queen Anne is the area / Seattle Center where the Sonics played. Empty bars, empty restaurants, closed restaurants. Sean Kemp's restaurant closed. Sean Kemp is a local legend, and his restaurant couldn't even survive. So that was, you know, over a amount of time. But this is a big city like Seattle. Now, you make a good point, like a city like Tuscaloosa, a city like Clemson, a city like... wherever, right? Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, where Penn State is.
Wherever the hell Ole Miss is.
Oxford, Mississippi.
There you go.
Where these places are going to struggle really, really quick if there's 1 year off of football.
I mean,
local businesses are going to close down fast.
Even some places where you think it might be bigger, like Gainesville, Florida, right? Like, it's still going to be tough. I think what's...
I mean, we drove through Tallahassee, right?
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. It's just the university. Same in Pullman, Washington.
I wanted to add something to what you were saying about Seattle, though, because not everybody listening is going to be from Seattle. When George says Queen Anne, Seattle Center, the Key Arena, let me just put this in perspective. There's one thing everybody knows in Seattle, even if you've never been here, it's the Space Needle. We're talking about the Space Needle's surrounding neighborhood. No one goes there. So, I mean, I can't tell. I've driven by maybe, you know, I've stopped by a couple, like in that area. There's a church that I went to for Christmas, right? That's it. But that where the Sonic Stadium was, is where like the Space Needle is, the fountain in Seattle. That was like the hub, right? Imagine a city like Seattle where your Space Needle is, the monument everyone knows. That's where it's been greatly affected just based off a basketball team leaving. Right. And guess what? A basketball team like the Sonics, I know they're professional and Alabama football is not, but the Sonics are nothing compared to Alabama football.
Well, not just nothing. In terms of impact for a community.
And like no, just the team. Well, I mean, what franchise is worth more? And I know that college football is not a franchise, but if you really think about it, who is a higher valuation? Probably Alabama football. They fit 100,000 fans in the stadium.
There's no argument.
Yeah.
The Alabama football brand is worth more than almost every single NBA team's brand other than maybe the Lakers.
And maybe the Knicks if they were good.
Yeah, sure. Lakers and Knicks.
And you know what? Alabama football's brand might be more valuable than
many NFL.
30% maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest.
The Jacksonville Jaguars or Alabama football.
Okay, but you just picked like the worst valued franchise. I know, but like the Cowboys are obviously worth more than Alabama. But like Alabama's probably worth somewhere around what the Seattle Seahawks are. It's like probably a $2 billion, maybe $3 billion franchise. I mean, we're talking about one of the most storied ever now.
Yeah, no, very good point. But yeah, so anyway, I guess if you were to make a prediction today, Sammy, will we have college football this fall or will we not have college football this fall?
Yeah, we'll have college football. I'm pretty confident we're going to have college football this fall because places like the SEC and, you know, forget what you think about the coronavirus, what I think, what we think politically about these types of things. At the end of the day, those areas, Alabama, they're prepping to have college football. So unless worst case scenario happens, they're playing college football. So I think it would take hundreds of infections like throughout the program and family members of those people in the program, and it would take other schools forcing a school like Alabama to shut down. So for me, the SEC is such a powerhouse to the point where they could probably play on their own.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. I don't think we're going to have college football this season around the whole nation. Well, we already know that with the Ivy League saying they're not going to do it, but no one cares about the Ivy League. But the point is...
But it is crazy they're not playing.
Yeah, but it's really not that big of a deal to the Ivy League, right? I mean, economically. But I think for the SEC, we're going to see them play. Now, do I know... Is there going to be fans there? I don't know. But I'm with you. They're going to win. They're going to play. And I don't know if they finish the season. I don't know what they play for because I don't know if the college football playoffs will happen if it's just the SEC playing. But it's going to be an interesting year. I just saw yesterday there's a big like cowboy thing right at the Texas State Fair. I don't know if you saw it on ESPN. Like, this big guy. I can give you the name of it. It's like a statue. It's this big. Cowboy inflatable and like yeah. Anyway, this is the first time since World War II that the Texas Fair is canceled.
That's pretty crazy. There's a lot of things like for the first time in 100 years not happening. Whatever it is, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there's been a lot of them, and it is kind of sad. Not kind of, it is sad. It's sad to see for business purposes, for you know, memory purposes, and. I mean, we almost had our first NBA season ever just being cut off midway and not finished, right? It might still happen. We might have our first non-strike MLB season be canceled. They're playing right now. It's happening as of now, but you never know, right? I think it's going to happen. That's a personal opinion, but if it doesn't, it is an unprecedented first time. I do have something to say, by the way, before we move on from the Ivy League. I do. It's unsports related for a second, but
I kind of like that.
I think it is. I don't know if who's seen this or who saw this yesterday. I think you brought it up to me, was that Harvard will still be charging $50,000 for tuition, even if it's all online. Yeah. And I just have, it kind of grinds my gears. So I kind of wanted to just talk about that
today's
for a second.
Segment of what grinds Sammy's gears. We should have that. What grinds Sammy's gears? Because there's not much that grinds your gears.
No, yeah, not too much. I'm usually like, well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, because so we got to find one every episode where you find something that grinds your gears. And it's like,
Well, usually if we make it sports related, I can get it done every episode. Today, I'll make it real life related. We'll do that. We'll find you a segment about something.
All right.
Stuff grinds your gears, though, right?
Everything grinds.
Yeah.
It's so easy to have that.
Not a good segment idea. For me, Harvard, it's kind of stupid, George. You know why? Because part of the – listen, I'm in online school right now, right? I'm going back to school right now trying to learn some new skills. But – was that you about to sing?
Back to school.
I don't think that I – care now, because my goal was not to go to school for school purposes.
Right.
If you're paying $50,000 to go to Harvard and I'm not getting the income, I mean, part of college, forget the education Harvard gives you, because I know Harvard has an amazing education. Part of being at Harvard is shaking those hands, talking to people, making those connections, because those other graduates from Harvard are probably bringing you some big value. Me just discussing on discussion posts with people from Harvard, I don't know if it's going to lead to as much of a valuable degree.
Do that on Reddit.
Yeah, it literally is the same thing. YouTube links. I'm not discrediting Harvard, but you can go on YouTube and learn things and go on Reddit and have discussions. Join Facebook groups. There's something about if you're going to go to Harvard, right? There's something about being at Harvard and experiencing Harvard and meeting those people.
And before I sign off on the Instagram, you can find this on Twitter, the Sports on Tap. I want to add one more thing to what you said, Sammy, there.
Yeah.
Is, you know what is crazy about all this? That if this actually happens.
I think, did you want to guess?
If this actually happens, it's kind of sad, right, if there's online classes. Because a lot of students last year, let's say they were freshmen. This year, they'd be sophomores. Basically, 2 years at Harvard on online classes. That's half their college experience gone.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, I thought about that the other day, and it's halfway gone.
Tough times.
I know.
It grinds my gears. All right, let's get into some sports now.
Yep.
I kind of like the what grinds my gears segment. So let's talk really quickly, and then we'll get into like the contract stuff, right? I want these to be quick topics.
All right.
Let's start with a positive one. Patty Mills, right?
Patty.
I like that. Patty Mills, what a freaking guy. So what Patty Mills is doing, which I really appreciate, and this is kind of like a plug towards my podcast. It's called Stuff That Matters with Sammy Jourjour. I like talking about good things that people are doing, right? Like George said, not a lot's going to grind my gears, because I'm more interested in reading news about just really happy, positive things. Spurs guard Patty Mills is donating the remainder of his NBA salary, which is $1,017,818 in Orlando, to Black Lives Matter organizations in Australia. And it brings up a key point for me here, right? I know there was a lot of people in the camp that we shouldn't go to Orlando. People should not go to Orlando. It's taking away from the message. You know, I have personally found that since this Orlando thing has kicked back up, I feel like the social justice push has been better. It's been actionable. They're doing the thing with the jerseys. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is on the jersey, if it's useful or not, like putting names on the back of the jersey or putting Black Lives Matter on the court, whatever it may be. What I do know is seeing things like that, Patty Mills donating $1 million, the rest of his salary, I think Dwight Howard's doing the same for donating it to his organization, the rest of his salary. Things like this are more valuable than the players sitting at home, is how I've seen it, right? And it makes a much bigger difference. So I think this is cool, Patty Mills. I think it's cool of the players that are donating and trying to make a change, all while understanding that at the same time, they're being real. This is a business. We got to go do our jobs. And I kind of love that.
I do too. Completely agree with you. Great job by Patty Mills, right? Like, this is actionable insights. $1 million goes a long way. It's like,
it's a big donation.
We all do this thing where it's like, he donated $100 million. He should have donated $200 million. Like, he donated his whole salary. Like, you can't even, like, Twitter has nothing to do with it. Like, why did he donate to the United States?
Well, he's from Australia.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to find what Twitter would dislike about this. And today's grind
George. Yeah, see, this is why we don't do a grind George is good. Nobody right now's point of this was, how can we criticize Patty Mills for only donating $1 million? And how do we twist the story to that right now? George goes, I'm like, wow, this is a great move. George goes, yeah, for anyone that's complaining about $1 million.
I'm just saying, like, please, I'm just tired of complaining culture. Like, great job by Patty Mills. I wish more people were like Patty Mills and were able to put actionable plans and help out as much as they can.
People are killing it. Patty Mills is killing it, actually. Patty Mills is killing it. Do you want to touch on the Steven Jackson, DeSean Jackson stuff, or do you not?
I have some opinions on
I know you do.
About Steven Jackson, DeSean Jackson.
How about, let me tell you my quick opinion because it takes about 4 seconds. Right. It's not a very strong opinion. It's just an opinion. And then for those listening, we're going to get into Patrick Mahomes and some salary stuff. I put out a video about it yesterday on my Twitter, at @JourgeWorSammy. That's JourgeWorSammy. And the whole point of it was, I don't like canceling anyone, so don't cancel DeSean Jackson. Don't cancel Steven Jackson. No point of it. I think DeSean Jackson really just accidentally just posted something. He didn't really know what it meant. And he apologized, and that was great. But Steven Jackson is trying a little too hard to be, you know, the social justice. Everything is like, and if it's not on his – like, I don't know, because it's not related to agreeing with DeSean Jackson, who's African-American, Steven Jackson thinks it was anti-African-Americans. And he's like, he was right. What he said is right. The problem was, I don't understand why, me included, I don't like to do this. If we don't have any knowledge about the situation, I don't understand why people want to speak out and try to make it political or make it right or wrong. Steven Jackson obviously had 0% knowledge about what DeSean Jackson was saying or doing. And that, and just like DeSean Jackson didn't either. Just like, I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm not Jewish. I didn't read into it very well. I had to have you read it for me twice, right? If you don't know, why are we speaking out and trying to defend something that could be really offensive and harmful when he knows he doesn't have any knowledge about this, right? So it's like, or he's delusional, right? So it's one of the two. It's like, you don't know. DeSean Jackson obviously apologized and understood what he said was wrong. I don't know why everyone does it. I do it sometimes. We all try to speak out about stuff we have no idea about, and it comes back and bites us in the ass.
Yeah. Well said. But here's the thing. I have something to say for someone like Steven Jackson. I don't think fighting for equality is a pick and choose type of thing, right? I think if you're going to be fighting for equality, you're either fighting for equality for everyone or you shut up. So Steven Jackson, if he's going to come out and say, oh, what DeSean Jackson said was speaking the truth. So is Steven Jackson saying that Jewish people don't matter? And we're not Jewish, but that's basically what you're saying. If you're saying he's speaking the truth because you're saying that what DeSean Jackson shared was saying that Jewish people are evil, and DeSean Jackson defended it. You can't defend that. If you're going to be someone who's fighting for social justice, you should be fighting for social justice for African Americans, Jewish people, Asian people, and equality for even white people who they seem like who didn't give them justice back in the day. So you can't just like pick and choose, in my opinion, especially in this like country, right? Like, I'm not asking Steven Jackson to go tomorrow or LeBron James tomorrow and fight for Hong Kong protesters. I'm just saying, how can you defend someone saying, which was genocide, right? Hitler took Jewish people, burned them,
set them on fire, concentration camp.
And Steve Jackson's defending this. He's defending what DeSean Jackson said, saying he spoke the truth. You can't do that. Either you're fighting for social justice, any equality for everyone, not only what's convenient for you, for everyone, or you're not part of the fight. So either Steven Jackson really misspoke, because I don't blame DeSean Jackson. I don't want to cancel Steven Jackson either, because he's done some excellent things during this. And DeSean Jackson didn't mean anything by it. It was a mistake. And I've been a firm believer since the beginning. People wanted to put Drew Brees through the ringer, he made a mistake. People want to put DeSean Jackson through the ringer, he made a mistake. People make mistakes. We're not perfect. So I don't understand why, like, instead of Steven Jackson coming out and saying, hey, man, what he said was wrong, I don't think he meant it. He instead went double down and said, no, I defend it. That's no different from a racist making a racist comment and saying, no, I defend it.
Yes, it is different. Once again, I think, yeah, you're obviously not seeing the situation. He doesn't know what he was speaking on. So it's like a hunt. Okay. That's the point, but you can't say he either has to be all in or all out, because he obviously, if you listen to what Steven Jackson said, he had no idea even what he said had nothing to do with what even DeSean Jackson said. He was blabbing about stuff about like Black Lives and things that literally had nothing to do with the post DeSean Jackson made. So my point is more, if you have no idea what the situation, well, my issue is he saw people attacking. I think he saw white Jewish Americans attacking an African American and DeSean Jackson. And he was like, he didn't do anything wrong, right? Like, because he doesn't want white people attacking a black person. And so he had no idea, obviously 0% idea, what DeSean Jackson's post was about, because nothing he said in his video. Did you even hear one word that Steven Jackson said in his video that had to do with what DeSean Jackson said?
No, after we watched the video, it was hard to watch. But
yeah, that's where. Yeah,
but my point is more like, I guess I get frustrated when someone's being a voice of a movement, which is equality, right? I mean, equality. To me, equality doesn't mean just black people getting equality or white people getting equality or Asians or us like Arabs getting equality. It means everyone getting equality, right? That's the point of being equal, not someone gets more or less. So, like, it's just disappointing to me when you're fighting for something that you're speaking out so, so hard for and working so hard for. You take, like, 10 step backs with comments like that.
Yeah, but I agree with that, but that's – it's not because he's not trying to fight for all equality. I think it's because he has no idea what he was not what he's talking
well,
about.
Not that he knows why he's not out saying, "Oh yeah, Drew, like that's bad. We shouldn't be talking about that."
Because people hate being wrong.
Well, then don't be
the voice of reason.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, it sounds harsh, but like Martin Luther King, right? Who civil rights movement? Like, I don't want to make this into a huge ordeal. But like,
yeah, I was really wondering where is this going.
Like, I don't think he'd come out and see someone talking about Jewish people and then like say something wrong of it, and then keep defending it and not talking about it ever again. I think he was a voice of reason, and I just feel like we need people to realize if you really want change to happen in this country, which needs to happen, you need to actually be well-rounded and be careful of your words.
Correct. So I think that is the key point that I was trying to make in the beginning too, is it's not that Steven Jackson is fighting for one side or not the other side.
Sorry.
He has no idea. You shouldn't speak out if you have no idea. Like you said, be careful with your words. If you have no idea what the topic has to do with, don't speak out on it. I'm not going to come out here and argue with you about a policy that a president passed if I have no idea what the policy is.
Okay, but then right? Here's a question. There's so many other players. I mean, the whole NFL and the NBA was like this on Drew Brees, right?
Like, yeah.
Not one person said DeSean Jackson shouldn't have said that. And then instead, I see people saying that the owners shouldn't have said anything in the NFL. They should have let him be.
Yeah, see, this is a whole different topic than Steven Jackson.
True. But like, this whole DeSean Jackson topic shows why a lot of people.
You mean Steven Jackson?
Steven and DeSean Jackson, right? DeSean Jackson and what Steven Jackson said shows why a lot of people have issues with what's going on right now, because there's no consistency. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not asking LeBron James to go out and say Deshaun Jackson. But, like, you speak out on everything. But when it's Deshaun Jackson, you don't want to speak out. I don't think it's fair. And I think a lot of people have an issue with that.
Yeah, I think it's the difference. I'll tell you what the difference is, if you really want to know the difference, is what Drew Brees said was very
specific
to exactly something that's been talked about pretty extremely in the last 48 hours.
Talking much about Hitler.
Yeah, I mean, when you read me what Deshaun Jackson posted, what did I ask you? Can you read that again? Well, I don't get it. Right? So,
And by the way, once again, Deshaun Jackson, in my opinion, didn't know what he was doing.
Of course he didn't. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? Like, I could have posted that. I had no idea what it meant.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't want to cancel.
But that's why it's so much different than Drew Brees. Like, Drew Brees knows that kneeling for the flag is a big topic.
Right now, yeah. You can just
like, the day before he said that.
Yeah, just be quiet.
Deshaun Jackson was more of a mistake. But I do agree the inconsistency is kind of weird. But I think the biggest reason we see the inconsistency is, like, for example, Steven Jackson didn't know what he was even talking about in response to it. Yeah. So that's where it gets harder to, you know.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's not an easy topic by any means. And it's like, you got to, there's so many words. You're like, everyone is being extra cautious and careful and doesn't want to say anything. But sometimes it has to be said. Like, here's the part. If Steven Jackson said something wrong, like he did, we should be able to call out Steven Jackson. And I'm actually, the internet has, which has been a good thing.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. all right. Well, that's all I got on that subject.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait till you know what I can't wait for? Sports to come back and we have topics about the plane watching sports. Everyone who got in this industry and likes this industry got into this industry to talk, watch, and talk about sports reactions. I don't think like anyone got on it to talk about, oh, the coronavirus or, how can we fix systematic racism in this country? Now, they're both important things, obviously, but I just don't think anyone who got into this, you know, I'm going to start a sports media business or I'm going to be a sports media journalist or I'm going to be whatever in sports media. I don't think anyone got into it because they really wanted to talk about much bigger topics than sports. But this year is kind of given that, unfortunately. And I'm not saying they don't like those topics, but the main big reason people got into this industry is because they love sports. I just can't wait for sports to come back.
Yeah, I can't wait for sports to come back either. I just think at the end of the day, I don't think people dislike talking about this stuff, actually. But I think people like I think it's a good message that we all should be a little more careful what we say, what we do, what we post. You never know. Just because it's not your race, just because I'm not posting something about Arabs, Middle Easterns, I should be sensitive to what I'm saying. Like, I should try to educate myself a little bit on it before I speak out, because I've tried to do this with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? I've reached out to friends. I've tried to read about it. Like everyone else is trying to do is like, what's the best way to help? What's the way to go about things? That's why it's unfair what Steven Jackson did when he's requesting that everyone for his race stands together. Mm-hmm. It's unfair that on the opposite end, he decided to have no education on it.
Very well said. And you know how long it takes to educate yourself on an issue like that? About 3 minutes.
Just Google it.
Yeah. So instead, he just grabbed his phone and recorded it.
Yeah. I think we just came to the key conclusion there at the end, right? For a second.
What, read Google?
No, like he's asking others to take the time and the effort to understand, but he won't do the same.
Yeah.
Should we talk Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes got paid a whole lot of money.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Do you think do you think this is gonna be enough for him to
survive?
Buy a new home?
Yeah, he's doing well.
Cheeseburger now.
A good old 40-something million a year.
Yep. Yeah, so Patrick Mahomes, obviously, like, it's one of those things. I know you put out a video, and you thought at the beginning of your video, Sammy, you said, I thought long and hard about this. I thought all day what to say, right? I mean, you had a little bit of trouble trying to kind of dissecting this. I had some dissecting trouble, too, and I've come to the conclusion, I think Patrick Mahomes is underpaid. I know it's crazy to say. He's not underpaid today, but I think within 5 years of his contract, this is going to be underpaid. So here's some stats for you. 2011, Peyton Manning was the highest paid player in the NFL with a $23 million a year salary. By 2019, the highest paid player was Russell Wilson at $35 million. And 2020, Mahomes will be at $45 million. That's a 50% increase. It just doubled, right? So I think within 5 to 6 years.
Wait. Can we just take a pause? You're going to have to pause. What was Peyton Manning?
$23 million.
And how? And what year?
2010. 11.
Okay. And what was Russell Wilson?
35.
Okay. I think that's the numbers we should look at, not the Patrick Mahomes anomaly. Because Patrick Mahomes is the outlier, obviously. So.
All right, so let's just
say, let's look at the Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson was the Patrick Mahomes is the LeBron James, the Tom Brady. It's different than the Mike Trout, right? You see guys like Mookie Betts is maybe just as good as Mike Trout. He doesn't get the Mike Trout money, right? He gets 50, 60 million less. So that difference between Manning and Russell was how many million?
12 million, which is a 35% increase.
Okay, over 10 years.
Let's say 9 years, but 10 years. So let's just say 35% increase for Russ, for Patrick Mahomes between this guy and whatever the next big contract is 10 years from now. And this is also with inflation. Now, the coronavirus, it's going to slow it down a little bit. Instead of 35%, we'll give it a 25% increase, right? So at $35 million a year with a 25% increase.
He's not underpaid, but you keep going.
That would be 56 or 57 million.
And he'll be making $59 million in a season by – he makes – until 2027, he's going to be getting paid $59 million.
Okay, so they accounted for all – they basically accounted for that contract. I still think – if he wins – okay, how about this? I believe Patrick Mahomes, his new contract, leaves him underpaid. If he wins 3 or 4 Super Bowls, which he could – would you say, Sammy, that his contract was actually way less than it's worth, or way more than it's worth, or about the same? Because I believe Patrick Mahomes deserves to be the highest paid player in the league. That's not going out on a limb. I think the Chiefs, if the Chiefs were to pay him $55 million a year and even $70 million a year, they're probably going to get the money back on that contract with jersey sales, wins, ticket sales. The coronavirus might slow it down, but I actually think that you can make a fair argument after, like I said, 4 or 5 years, that Patrick Mahomes is going to be underpaid using what I said, which you're going to use a different one, that Peyton Manning was the highest paid contract 10 years ago. He doubled it up, Patrick Mahomes, from that. So we can see by 2030 someone making $80 to $90 million a year.
When you double Russell Wilson's contract in 10 years, it's about close to that $60 million range where Patrick Mahomes will make in 7 years. So,
but is it Peyton Manning kind of like Patrick Mahomes? Every 10 years we have a guy like Peyton Manning was like, oh my God, Peyton Manning could be the greatest ever. And now Mahomes, when he signed that contract, now when Mahomes signs his contract, we're like, man, he has the potential to be the greatest ever. In 2030, probably be Trevor Lawrence. Couldn't Trevor Lawrence, if he had won a Super Bowl by 2030, people say, man, Trevor Lawrence could be the greatest ever. Let's give him a 10-year, $900 million contract.
I'm going to go on a limb and predict that that will for sure never, ever, ever, ever happen to the NFL.
750.
No.
I think so.
There's no chance. George, 60. First of all, the salary cap is going to go down. It's probably going to go down because of coronavirus. Okay, so first of all, that's going to take a 5 to 7 year recovery. Just in general, for most sports, like just in general, when it comes to economy, sports, there's going to be recovery time, right? And we keep talking like this is some, you know, look at baseball even. A-Rod signed almost a $300 million contract. Mm-hmm.
10 years ago.
10 years ago. And Mike Trout signed a
$600 million contract.
It's not $600 million.
It's like $550 million, so almost double.
No, Patrick Mahomes is the first person to have one that's over half a billion.
I think Trout's
426, so not even close. It's not doubled. It's 130 million.
How much was A-Rod's? 250, right?
I think 300.
300, okay.
So I'm just telling you, like, there is a point where things, it was 275, it's right in the middle of that. So it went up.
Exactly double.
Oh, no, exactly double. Double, not a little less.
275 times 2 is 450.
200. It's like 550. Yeah, wow, yes. Not even what Patrick Mahomes got. Yeah, I'm like, where are these numbers coming from? My point is, this Mahomes deal is perfectly fair, and it's a good deal. Am I going to say he's overpaid? No. Is he underpaid? Absolutely not. It's a It's a potential for a $500 million contract. A couple of things here. One, when you overpay people, this is why we're not going to get to those giant numbers. Your team quality becomes less. The Seahawks haven't been able to put talent around Russell Wilson the same way that they had since he signed the contract. I know it was last year, but even since they had to pay him a regular contract. You've seen teams like the Cowboys paying their own running back has hindered them. Why have the Patriots been so successful, George? Tom Brady's not taking $50 million here. That is the exact only, not just only, but best coach, best quarterback. If Tom Brady was going for those $500 million contracts, it might have hindered the Patriots' success long term.
Of course.
And what Patrick Mahomes did here, why he's not underpaid or overpaid, is he found a way to structure his contract where there's still team cap space. He's getting the highest paid contract in the league. No one's going to get out. No one's going to get paid more than him. I know Dak's contract's coming up, Deshaun Watson. He's the bar, right? He's the highest.
How old is Patrick Mahomes?
24 years old.
Okay, so in 10 years, he'll be 30. Let's say 8 years into the contract, right? He'll be, what, 32?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he'd still be the best quarterback in the league at that
point? I mean, yeah, Russell Wilson's 31. Okay. He might be the
best or second best.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be the highest paid player in the league at that point of his career?
On a yearly average, yes.
Okay, I say no. And that's why I think he's underpaid.
Well, that year he might be making $59 million. Might be the year he's still probably the highest paid in the NFL.
Let's say someone's making 75 and Patrick Mahomes making 59. Just like, you know, for argument's sake, would you say at that point, if he's the best quarterback in the league and making $16 million less than someone else, and this is all hypothetical, right? We don't know if this would ever happen. Would he be underpaid?
Probably not. Because at this point, I don't think that's how being overpaid and underpaid works. I mean,
like 30th highest contract in the NFL in 10 years.
That's not going to happen.
I kind of feel like it is.
Who in their right mind is going to give people – nobody like Kirk Cousins, when you're the eighth best quarterback in the league, is going to surpass a $59 million contract.
Sure, Kirk Cousins 4 years ago was the highest paid player in the NFL.
Yeah, but that – was on a short-term deal. True. Here's the thing. The reason I think you're looking way too much at the yearly number. Yearly doesn't matter that much in the Patrick Mahomes case, right? Because if we just stack up the yearly number, okay, it's on average $45 million, right? But he has years where he's hitting 60. Plus, if he wins an MVP that year, it becomes 62.5. And if he wins Super Bowl that year, it becomes 65 to 70 million almost, right? So we're talking about different things. Russell Wilson is right after him at 35 million. Russell Wilson has 3 years left. The Seahawks maxed him out at 4 years. 4 years, right? So look at Aaron Rodgers is getting paid less than other guys, even though he's still one of the top quality. But nobody's getting this 450. At least not too many people are going to get this hefty number. You might get Kirk Cousins' money, $100 million over 2 or 3 years. But is Kirk Cousins going to surpass Mahomes in earnings? No. He'll never probably surpass him in career earnings because his shelf life's not as long. I think what Mahomes did is really smart. And here's the thing. You asked like a Peyton Manning, right? For example, if Patrick Mahomes' career turns out like Peyton Manning's, he's probably overpaid.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning won one Super Bowl with the Colts. If the Colts signed him to a 10-year, $450 million contract and won one Super Bowl,
yeah, he'd be overpaid. You know, the one thing that's interesting here is like we've obviously looking at this a little bit differently. You think we've almost capped out on the total amount of money an athlete can make? While I think we're going to see a $1 billion contract one day. The thing is, I remember when I was younger, I think 2002, whatever, I forget, and A-Rod signed that massive $200 million deal, and I thought, man, we're never going to see another deal like $200 million, or was it $250 of the Texas Rangers? I forget the exact number. But I think as sports continues to grow and live entertainment continues to grow and the decline of cable TV, because, I mean, sports is like the only live show we still watch, and that's actual live. I think one day we will see an athlete, and my prediction is Trevor Lawrence type or a baseball player, who's just really damn good. I think we will see a like 12-year, $1 billion contract in our lifetime. I really do. I think we see a billion-dollar contract, and I think it's going to be before the year 2035.
And I strongly disagree.
Yeah, see, I think that's why that's why I see him being maybe underpaid, and you see him being overpaid.
Unless the value of the dollar in America changes, nobody's going to get paid a billion-dollar contract. I mean, we've already seen people surpass like yearly earnings of this, right? We've had a year where Tiger Woods has made $100 million, basically. Michael Jordan's kind of doing the same with endorsements, other things. It's going to be the people might be getting $1 billion total with endorsements and other things, but for a team to pay, I think at the end of the day, we have to consider also that at some point, has America, like, how many more Americans are going to be watching sports than the average that's already happening, right? Like TV deals, where's their cap, right? Because right now,
I think the cap's international markets.
Yeah, but how many? Yes and no. Like NFL, the problem is it's Sundays at a certain time, right? Yeah. How many more people on average will watch sports, right? Mm-hmm. You know, sports obviously was a steep incline, and now it's been pretty steady for 20 years, right? There's that. Stadiums are just around the same size. They're not going to get more ticket sales. There's going to be, I just feel like there's a certain point where
there's going to be a cap on like growth.
Yeah, because it's not that there's going to be a decline, but it's just going to be, yeah, like 10% of the
up and down like this.
Yeah, like 10% of the world watches sports every day, and every stadium is sold out at 100,000 people because we can't fit any more than that. Every single game sold out, and that's like your maxed valued.
No, that's a fair way to look at it. I just don't look at it like that. But I totally understand where you're going. I think it's going to be much bigger. I think gambling is also going to play a role in that. Leagues are going to get a lot of money from gambling companies to put stuff in the stadium, put more. Like, I just think we're going to go into that European soccer model where it just becomes a behemoth of a, like, especially baseball, 162 games. You can bet on them. I think we're going to see some money that is going to look outrageous to us by 2035. That's just an opinion.
I think the opposite of baseball, actually. I think we're going to see reductions in salaries. I think what your point was in the NFL is quite possible. If I was going to predict anywhere that would happen, it'd be NFL quarterbacks.
Mine would be NBA superstars.
I think Colin Cowherd made this point, right? And I love this analogy. And he said, name me one baseball contract that you liked, that you look at now and you're like, that was great. That's so great that the Angels paid Mike Trout $426 million and they haven't made the playoffs.
The only one I'd say was good was this Mariners kind of got Felix Hernandez on the cheap.
That was an awful deal still.
Yeah. Okay.
They made zero playoffs.
Ichiro's first contract with the Seattle Mariners was very team friendly.
How much was it?
It was very, I forget, but it was
that's from
Tokyo.
Exactly the opposite of the point, because Russell Wilson's first, that's not literally the opposite of the point. The point was, name a baseball contract that is one of the top 10 that you thought was, wow, that was a great contract.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees.
Manny Machado is great.
The Yankees are probably already regretting Garrett Coles, and he hasn't even pitched a game yet. And Bryce Harper and the Phillies would love to take a pill and just make that contract disappear.
Yeah, and the Angels don't make the playoffs for another 2 years. They're going to be like, I'm glad we have Mike Trout, but at the same time, he doesn't do anything on social media. He has no personality like outside of baseball when it comes to like bringing awareness to the Angels, and we can't make the playoffs.
You make a great point there. I do agree with that. Maybe it won't be baseball. I just feel like for 162 games, like sometimes it could be baseball just because of the amount of games being played.
One thing I've noticed about baseball is a lot of the years, the teams that are making the championship and playoffs have a lot of good names, but not the biggest contracts.
That's so true. You're right.
Basketball, it could happen, but it also
Nationals got rid of Bryce Harper and won the World Series.
Yeah, with a bunch of just kind of dudes, right? And I know they're good dudes, like Dave, what's his name? David Murphy.
Yeah, and Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, like dudes that are good. Scherzer's good, but like, or not Scherzer. He was on the team. Strasburg, but they're not, you know, they weren't the Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Manny Machado.
Right.
I guess pitchers have been okay deals, but at the same time,
they pitch once every 5 days.
Yeah, so is it really worth the money? Probably not. And that's where I think baseball is not going to surpass those big numbers ever. And I think they're pretty much capped. But to your point, if there was one sport that would happen, it'd be NFL quarterbacks. One thing that I did hear on that Colin Cowherd show that I loved was, he's like, I've never seen a baseball contract I've liked long term, but I've never seen a quarterback contract that goes long term that I haven't said, like, that'll work. Yeah. Like Russell Wilson's deal. You look at it and say, that's fine. That works. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, nobody's been like, what? Everyone said, that'll work. Yeah. Even Jared Goff, he got overpaid, but most people were like, okay. So
where are you going to go?
He's like, he made the Super Bowl. Right. Aaron Rodgers, he might be declining. Everyone said, okay. Tom Brady's 43 and just got what? A year for
20 something.
Yeah, like almost 30 million. Everyone's like, okay. Yeah. I think football quarterbacks is the way. I don't think basketball either, though. I think that's basketball's not done the best job of continuing growth. And I think they've gone wildly political. They've gotten very two-star oriented and too much movement of players leaving. Like the NFL, man, Deshaun Watson, they're saying is gonna sign a 10-year deal.
He's gonna be worth $400 million.
Yeah, probably right around. Patrick Mahomes signs a 10-year deal. Rodgers never leaves Green Bay.
You never see these 10-year deals in football, but now we're starting to see them.
Yeah. I think, but it goes to what's important for that sport is like the loyalty. Having the same quarterback on the same team for a long time is really important.
Yeah.
And that's basketball's biggest downfall. I love LeBron James, but what he's done has been bad. It's been good for the game, like for people that love the game, but it's been bad for the growth in like local communities. Well, Kevin Durant could have been seen as one of the best players to ever play, top five, right? But his movement going from Oklahoma City, and unfortunately for him, being moved out of Seattle was not his choice, but true. Seattle to Oklahoma City, goes to Golden State to a hated team, now to Brooklyn. His fame is not what most...
But internationally, I think it is, and I think that's what they are. Now with China, you never know. Like they're not in the best of terms with the NBA anyway, so they're going to lose a ton of money there.
I think all leagues should just take more notes from the NFL.
Yeah.
Whatever the NFL is doing obviously fucking works. I know everyone hates on the NFL.
You know what the NFL is doing? One thing and one thing only.
Worried about business.
Yeah. I was going to say protect the shield.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Well, that's why NFL is Amazon. It's Apple. It's, whatever you want to consider it. They
like Tesla. Like
it's say sexy. Some shit. I don't care. It's
sexy.
Yeah. It's an interesting world. And then like UPS.
I was going to say Coca-Cola.
UPS, like brown like truck. The uniforms just kind of bland, right?
I love that.
All right. I think that's all we got today.
Yeah, man. Well, it was a lot of fun, a lot of crazy ideas here. I think we're going to see $1 billion contract. Sammy thinks that we're going to see sports being played with fans and coronavirus. I'm kidding. I'm just making sure.
Sorry, I didn't say that. They're not quite what I said. I think they will play sports this year, but I don't know about like with coronavirus exactly. They're going to play sports this year, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not the Ivy League. But I think
I'm gonna say something on this podcast that you don't expect. So you know how we've been doing every green podcast lately, right? Whoever's listening still right now, they can send us ideas. First of all, send us ideas for evergreen podcast, which is podcasts that you can listen to 10 years from now. It would be about whether it's like top 10 players of all time. Best sports moment. But I thought,
maybe like 5 years from now.
Yeah, or five. You know what I mean.
Patrick Mahomes, 10 years from now, I'll be ending his contract.
Yeah, they're going to listen to this when Trevor Lawrence signs $1 billion contract and be like, oh, yeah, George is right. Anyway, the point is here, I have one for you, Sammy, that you just gave an idea for. And I want to get your idea for it live on the air. Stocks plus players. We're going to choose 10 players and give them a stock. So, for example, you said the NFL is Apple. What is LeBron James?
Fuck, I was going to say Apple.
Apple, that's fine. LeBron James is Apple. Who's Mike Trout?
See, LeBron, Mike Trout's UPS.
Ooh, I like it. See what I mean? Like, soft. Yeah. So that would be a great part.
Apple, actually, Patrick Mahomes is probably Apple. It's like sexy, fun,
true.
Like flashy.
No, he's SpaceX because he has a rocket of an arm.
No, thank you. All right.
All right. Yeah. But yeah, you like that idea. Huh?
We've stretched this too long.
Yeah, we'll make this into an evergreen podcast one day. Stocks and players.
Or forget the word stocks. Like, just what is this player's company? Because when you said stocks, I was trying to think of like what public companies.
Yeah.
Like, just what, like, compare this player to a company.
Okay, fair enough.
Or a thing.
Or a thing. Okay.
Figure it out. Much love. And we'll be back. I don't even know what episode this is, whatever. We'll figure it out. But we'll be back probably by the end of this week. So stay tuned. This is That Being Said podcast with the Georgia brothers. If you are listening on the pod, we were live on at the Sports on Tap on Twitter. And you can find us at the Sports on Tap on all platforms. And of course, at thesportsontap.com. Well, not at thesportsontap.com, but you know what I mean. www.thesportsontap.com. I'm Sammy.
And I'm George. And thank you so much for listening today. This has been the That Being Said podcast. Thank you for joining us at the Internet's Pub.
This is Sports on Tap, and this is Sports Radio.
Redefined.
Peace, y'all.